You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. We're going to do after further review now. Eric Metcalf joins us at 2, and then we will unveil the top 9 needs by position, my list, Vic's list, and then we're going to put together our own super list as we build this thing out and get the Browns ready to fill the holes on this roster this offseason. Without any further ado, after further review.
After further review.
All right, guys, question number one on this Tuesday. After this past weekend's combine, who's the number one player on your draft board?
Well, I'm going to have to say Jadeveon Clowney right now. He would be my number one guy. I think he showed it with not only the speed. I don't care about the bench press thing. I think that was way, way, way overplayed by those who were critical of that. I listened very closely to what Bill Polian had to say about him regarding the fact that he drew a lot of double teams last year, much more so than he had even his previous season as a kind of a marked guy, and had to fight through a lot of those. He compared it to when he scouted a smaller, quicker guy like and smaller, quicker, because he's smaller than Jadeveon Clowney, Dwight Freeney, and how he saw him get erased from some games because of the extra attention he drew as a blocker. I think that's the respect level that Clowney brings. That 4.440 represented it. I just think he's got rare skills.
I think he's got rare skills as well, and that's why when I've been consistent on this all along, I said that if he's there at number four, that's who I would take if I was the Browns. I believe he has a chance to be a generationally transcendent player and be a stalwart on this team for a long, long time to come. So, yes, he was still the top player on my board.
After further review.
Question number two, should all quarterbacks coming to the combine have to participate in every drill to be invited?
I think they should. I think I'm enough with the I'm not going to participate in drills. This was the silliest year for that decision made by Teddy Bridgewater and by Johnny Manziel. I thought they needed to throw in this particular draft or this particular combine. They needed to. They're not so special in my view with the flaws that they have, regardless of with a perception of where they're ranked. Yeah, there's a top three that most people see, Blake Bortles being the third of that, and Blake went out there and threw, and I see no reason why those other guys shouldn't have thrown. You're invited to the thing, participate, do what you're supposed to do, and throw the football. I don't see a downside to it. I just don't.
Do it. Yes. Compete. They should be there. They should throw. They're not doing anything that's going to cause them injury. It's not like they have to show how they can take hits at the combine. Throw the football.
And Nathan, you know what it is? I think it's just, why don't you throw? Because we can. We can say no. And it's an agent and a player thing. And it's through the years, I think it's just been ridiculous. I'd like to see it stop. For all the investment that's been put into this thing, NFL Network making it a TV show, et cetera, those demands should be greater. You're going to be part of our thing here, our thing. Throw. Okay.
You're not going to do it standing in the background in a hoodie with a towel around your
neck. Yeah, that it's a stupid look.
After further review. Probably.
Question number three. If you could only ask players one question in their combine interview, what would it be?
That's a good question.
Mine's simple. Do you love football? But it's going to be a two-part question. Do you love football? And tell me why.
I think my question would be, why are you the player that I should pick, and what are you going to do for our football team?
That's a good one, too. The reason I like Do You Love Football and why, I want to hear them communicate to me that their passion for this game, and I've heard Mike Pettine talk about this a lot, but I've also heard other coaches and such say it, too, is going to go beyond the money. The money's going to come, and it's going to be, you know, big time for certain positions, bigger than others. But anybody getting paid to play the game, their lives are far different than what they had before, or at least more pay than they got previously, and in some cases. And I think I want them to communicate to me what their love is. And they may struggle with that, but, you know, I want to see if I can come away with the idea that this game means something more to them than a paycheck.
I'd also want to ask them what their biggest weakness as a player is currently and how they plan to fix that.
Yeah. Well, and standard in all this is when teams do their thorough research and their due diligence, they'll have cut-ups of not only the best plays, but the worst plays, and that's when you find out a lot about it. In fact, some teams don't even review the best plays. They'll go through the cut-ups of the worst plays and have the player point out what happened here, what happened here, what happened here, what happened here, knowing full well they know what happened. They want the player to explain it, if he can.
I like that.
After further review.
Final question on this Tuesday to celebrate Nathan's trip to the Bahamas last week, because he's still detoxing. What is your favorite beach cocktail?
I'm going to go with banana daiquiri because I was on the beach and that's what I kept going back to. So I'm going to go with a banana daiquiri with a double shot rum floater.
Wow. You should be playing Kokomo by the Beach Boys right now as we answer this. Got that handy? Because that's what I picture. I heard that song in the back of my head when I thought of Nathan out there in the Bahamas at the Miz's wedding.
Mai Tai? A tequila
sunrise? I like Mai Tais. I do from going to Hawaii and discovering them, not only in Hawaii, but on the way to it for the Pro Bowl. On the plane, on the way out, they serve you Mai Tais. And one trip, I had a couple more than I probably should.
It's interesting, though, for me, though, because it is somewhat geographically specific. Like, when I am in the Bahamas, I only want rum, so it's all daiquiris. When I'm in Mexico, I only want tequila, so it's all margaritas and a tequila sunrise. That's how I like
sugar,
to roll.
All that stuff, doesn't that sugar throw you though? Because it doesn't die, it doesn't settle.
No. It can give you more of a hangover.
Right.
My new move and what I was doing like at the wedding was having a vodka and water. Not only is it a great way to save calories, but also keeps you a little bit hydrated while you go through, so the next day is not as bad as it could have been.
I'm into drinks.
I'm a pirate.
By the way, but no, you're a pirate. Yeah, that's right.
And
there was a drink that I discovered on one vacation. We went to Canada. This place, resort. It's called Fern Resort, and it's in Orillia, Ontario. Very cool place to go. And we went a lot with kids through the years. And we discovered this drink called the Chunky Monkey.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was all big-time chocolate.
Great Ben & Jerry ice cream, by the way.
And huge stuff and lots of alcohol in that. A chocolate liqueur mixed in. Those would go down far too easily. It would be like 80-something degrees, and you're drinking those. So anyway, I'm gonna put Chunky Monkey over the Mai Tai.
Really?
All right.
Strong. They had those. Those came out. Those started to come out. That was like...
This was back in the day. This was the early run of Chunky Monkeys.
Atlanta. So on Friday was our like pool party day, and it started off with Bahama daiquiris, and all of a sudden somebody was walking around with a banana daiquiri that had chocolate all in the middle. They're like, what is that? Chunky Monkey.
Well, this was 20-something. This is a 20-something-year-old deal that I was involved in. So I think it was invented right where we were.
I think you invented it.
I'm gonna give
you full credit.
I invented that. Hey, Eric Metcalf is going to join us. We'll get his favorite beach drink as well when he joins us next on Cleveland. Wait a minute. Carly McCord, what's your favorite before we go to...
I'd probably have to say a hurricane from Louisiana.
Hurricane.
Have that
all right, right, that works. Those are... those kick your butt.
Yeah. You need that.
Hurricane, a big from Pat O'Brien's.
Oh, Pat O'Brien's.
A big hurricane. I've never felt like having two of those.
Dark rum, light
one.
Rum. Then they have Category 5 ones. They have tequila in them.
Sounds like
sounds
like my kind of drink.
Oh, it's a you've had it.
Serious stuff, y'all.
By the way, I was down there for the Super Bowl. I spent a week down there.
Did you take your Pat O'Brien's glasses?
Of course,
we got a whole collection of them through the years of many Super Bowls, not just from one trip.
If you turn it back in there, you get $3 back.
There's a Lulu's down there too, right? The bait check where you get the like fishbowl drink. Oh yeah,
right, Jimmy Buffett.
I'm talking about.
You need a fishbowl. I'd like to order the trough, please.
Notorious. We're gonna have a good time when we get out on the road.
We are.
Together.
That's right. All right, Eric Metcalf.
Show you a whole new world.
CBD.